Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Suzanne Reese. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Suzanne Reese was born in the mid-1940s and lived in Sydney, Australia. She worked as an accountant for many years and retired. Suzanne was physically active and enjoyed walking, gardening, and traveling all over the world. For the fall of 2025, she had planned another exciting adventure. This time she was going to board the cruise ship Coral Adventure for a voyage around Australia. This ship is operated by a company called Coral Expeditions. As I've mentioned in other videos, my wife and I have been on a number of cruises over the last several years. We have sailed on Disney Cruise Line to various places like the Bahamas, Mexico, Jamaica, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Disney ships are fairly large. For instance, Wish, Treasure, and Destiny are 1,121 feet long, have a beam of 128 feet, and have a gross tonnage of 144,000. They hold 1,550 crew members and up to 4,000 passengers. The type of sailing experience with Disney is much different than what Suzanne had planned with Coral Expeditions. Coral Adventure is an expedition-style vessel, which was built in 2019. It is 306 feet long, has a beam of 56 feet, and has a gross tonnage of 5,516. The ship has 46 crew members who serve a maximum of 120 passengers. The focus of the cruise experience on this vessel is an exploration of various islands and other scenic locations, rather than onboard entertainment and visiting large well-known destinations. For instance, Coral Adventure has 2 render boats and 6 Zodiacs, which take passengers on excursions to largely uninhabited and out-of-the-way destinations. Another key difference with this particular cruise is the length. This was a 60-day cruise that was scheduled to circumnavigate Australia. This immense and expansive journey came with a substantial price tag. Suzanne paid $30,000 to be on board. Unfortunately, Suzanne's cruise was cut short in an unimaginably brutal fashion. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. On October 24, 2025, 81-year-old Suzanne Reese boarded Coral Adventure in Cairns, which is in far north Queensland. This city is 1,500 miles north of her home in Sydney. At 5:30 p.m., the ship set sail, heading north. On the next day, October 25, at 8:30 a.m., the ship made its first stop at Lizard Island, 155 miles north of Cairns. This 3.9 square mile granite island is on the Great Barrier Reef in Queensland, 20 miles from mainland Australia. It is part of the Lizard Island Group and the Lizard Island National Park. The island does not have a traditional permanent population. However, it does have a resort and a research station. Suzanne disembarked to participate on a hike to the highest point on the island, which is called Cook's Look. She was not alone on this hike. Rather, she was accompanied by crew members and other cruise passengers. The trail is straightforward and easy to follow, but also steep and involves climbing over a lot of rocks. It is by no means an easy trip physically. On that day, it was pretty hot on the island, about 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Suzanne started to feel unwell and was asked to head back down the mountain to the ship. In a surprising move, no one went with her. She started walking back alone. At 3:35 p.m., Coral Adventure left the island without Suzanne on board. Apparently, no one realized that she never boarded the vessel. When Suzanne failed to show up for dinner at 6 p.m., the crew became concerned and searched the ship. When they did not find her, they initially believed that she must have fallen overboard. At 8:43 p.m., Coral Adventure turned around and started sailing back toward Lizard Island. The ship was about 60 miles away by this point. The Australian Maritime Safety Authority was notified about the incident. The ship arrived at Lizard Island at 10 p.m. and conducted search operations until 3:30 a.m. The search resumed early on the next day, October 26, 2025. Other assets were brought in to assist, including a helicopter. At about 9:30 a.m., Suzanne's dead body was spotted on the island by the helicopter crew. She was 160 feet off the trail and close to the beach. An investigation into Suzanne's death was initiated. Coral Adventure continued the voyage. When it reached the Torres Strait, the vessel encountered mechanical problems. At this point, the cruise was canceled. The CEO said, quote, "Following the tragic passing of Suzanne Reese and previous mechanical issues, the decision has been made to cancel the remainder of the voyage," unquote. All the passengers received a full refund and were flown home. Suzanne's daughter told the media that she had to request a refund for her mother's payment. The company did not automatically issue it. Coral Adventure resumed operations. However, it ran into a little difficulty on its first trip since the tragedy. On December 27, 2025, the vessel struck a reef off the eastern shore of Papua New Guinea and became grounded. It sounds like the cruise line over-delivered on their promise to offer close-up experiences of the natural world. The 80 passengers and 44 crew members were stranded for 3 days, but no one was injured. At the time I am making this video, the investigation into Suzanne's death is not complete. It has been reported that she died from heat stroke, but there has been no explanation as to why she was left behind on the island. The company that operated Coral Adventure released a statement saying, quote, "While Coral Expeditions had comprehensive safety systems and procedures in place, we acknowledge some of these were not adequately implemented on this tragic day," unquote. The statement also indicated that additional systems and procedures were implemented to further strengthen protection for the guests. Now moving to my analysis. This case does not appear to be remarkably complex. It is surprising how long the investigation is taking. The results of the investigation into the incident where the ship ran aground 2 months after Suzanne's death have already been released, but nothing about what happened to Suzanne. This case is about a woman who was hiking on a trail and never made it back to the cruise ship. There are not too many moving parts here. This brings me to the question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Prior to taking the cruise, Suzanne went to a physician to be examined. I imagine she did this because it was a 60-day cruise. She was going to be on that ship for a while, with pretty limited access to medical care, and the excursions could be physically demanding. The physician told Suzanne that she was fine. She received a clean bill of health. On day two of the cruise, Suzanne was taken by tender boat to Lizard Island to go on the hike with the other passengers. When Suzanne started feeling unwell on the hike, presumably it was a crew member who told her to go back to the ship. Whoever said this probably didn't think anything of it. This was a relatively short hike. Again, the trail may have been difficult to cover, but it was not complex to navigate. All she had to do was follow it down to the beach. Nobody went with her on this trip, none of the crew members and none of her fellow passengers. Furthermore, the crew members on the hike did not call down to the crew members on the beach to tell them that Suzanne was coming. The workers on the beach were not expecting her. This was the first excursion in a very long trip. Nobody was familiar with each other at this point. Suzanne had not made any friends yet. The passengers and the crew members were not familiar with her. They knew she was a passenger, but they were not connected to her in any special way. This may have decreased how obligated people felt to help her. If this was day 42 instead of day 2, the other people would have been friendly with Suzanne. They would have been more inclined to say, "Hey, I will go down with you. There is no way I'm letting you make that trip alone." At this point, however, nobody had really bonded yet. She was just another nameless and faceless tourist romping around the island. Even though it was not a good idea to let Suzanne go alone, most of the time, this would not have resulted in anyone dying. As Suzanne was making her way down the trail, her condition unexpectedly deteriorated. She probably did not know this was coming. If she had felt really sick, she would have said something when she was still in the company of the crew members and passengers. Suzanne almost certainly believed that she could make it to the ship with no problem. With her condition now worse, Suzanne walked 160 feet off the trail. It's possible that she became incapacitated or died at this point, because when everyone came down off the mountain, they should have been able to hear her if she had been calling for help. The passengers and crew members did not see or hear Suzanne on their way back to the beach. Everybody climbed on board the tender boat and went back to Coral Adventure. Again, with the lack of familiarity between the people, nobody noticed her missing. The vessel had a policy where passengers would manually sign out when they disembarked and would sign in when they embarked. It must have been someone's job to check and ensure that everybody who signed out signed back in before the ship left. Clearly, That did not happen here. A critical task was overlooked. The vessel sailed away and left Suzanne on the lower part of the mountain, not far from the beach. If she was incapacitated and not dead, perhaps they could have saved her life if they had realized their mistake at the time of departure. When they sailed away and left her alone for hours, any chance Suzanne had evaporated. She had been marooned on a hot, desolate island in the middle of nowhere, with no means of communication, no shelter, no water, no food, and no hope. When weighing all the evidence in this case that is available so far, who was to blame for Suzanne's death? In my opinion, there is no question that the cruise line made several mistakes here. They sent Suzanne down the mountain alone, they failed to communicate to the crew members waiting at the beach that she was on the way, and they failed to realize that she did not sign in. She never made it back to the ship. Ensuring that every passenger gets back on the ship is mandatory. All cruise lines consider this a priority. Most people who pay for a cruise expect to come back alive. It is typically not considered a one-way trip. These failures could have cost Suzanne her life, but I'm not sure that they did. Suzanne may have died right after she wandered off the trail. It's possible that even if someone had walked with her, she still would have died. The important element here is finding out how long Suzanne remained alive after leaving the trail. If it was just a few minutes, perhaps no one could have prevented this tragedy. If it was a few hours, the delay in realizing she was missing becomes far more consequential. If it turns out that Suzanne would have died regardless of what the cruise line did, that does not exonerate the company of any wrongdoing. The failures were still very dangerous. Leaving someone behind on an island can easily lead to death. The crew members responsible for counting passengers have a job that is boring most of the time. It can become easy to grow complacent in that type of position. Passengers rarely fail to get back on a ship when visiting a small island that is barely occupied or unoccupied. Even so, crew members need to follow the safety procedures every time, because failing to do so can turn an unexpected behavior into a nightmare. Those are my thoughts in the case of Suzanne Rees. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.